Today's shiur, Emirat Hashem, will be divided into two parts. In the first part, we have a hero, and that's the Ravid. So I want to talk to you today, the first half of shiur, about the Ravid. Now, in order to understand where the Ravid is coming from, here on Daf Yud Amid Aleph, the Gemara has a principle called Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo. And you'll see this very early on Daf Yunam and Aleph. Thank you so much. On line 4. So you want to focus on those words, Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo. And the sugi that develops is an analysis of the same principle. Does it apply in the case of Ishto? And the Gemara has a sword to say, Adam karav etzel atzmo, but ein adam karav etzel ishto. Later on, the Gemara is going to analyze this principle from the perspective of Mamona. And that was the case of Shor HaNiskal, where there's a revia. And the Gemara is going to go back and forth. Do we say Adam karav etzel Mamona? Or do we say ein adam karav etzel Mamona? So we have three discussions here. We have number one, the discussion of Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo, that's clear. And that was never a question. And that was the basis on Daf Tesam and Beis, if you take a look two lines before the end of Daf Tesam and Beis, for Rava's ruling that if a person testifies, Ploni Ravani Lertzoni, we can accept his testimony as far as the Ploni, as far as the Rovea. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I can spend a few minutes reviewing this, but if you know it, I don't have to review it. So that would save me and you a lot of time. Chanoch, I don't know, you aren't here, so it might be new to you. Let me just give you a very quick, you'll see, I know you're very brilliant, so you'll follow this in a very short form. You know, so here's the short form of it, the abridged form. What Rava says on Daf Tes Amid Beis, based on Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo, is that, listen carefully, we can accept his Eidus as far as the Roveah is concerned, right? And that even though we cannot accept his Eidus as far as himself, you would have thought that, well, look, if we can't accept his Eidus, what we call self-incrimination as far as himself is concerned, that the revia was Mirtzono, then we have a psul in this Eidus, and that psul is contagious, so to speak. It spreads. And it encompasses even what he says as Eidus against the Rovea. But the Kamashmalan here of Rava, and again, here he's taking position against Rav Yosef, but we're going to focus on Rava today, is that Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo, and therefore we can say Palginin Dibura, as Rashi says, and we split his Eidus into two parts. There's Eidus vis-a-vis the Boel, the Rovea, and there's Eidus vis-a-vis himself. As far as himself, he's not believed, clearly, but we can accept his Eidus by splitting the Eidus into two. Yeah? So in other words, you're taking an Eidus and you're literally cracking it in half. That's Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo. Now, on Yud Amid Aleph, in the case of Ploni Baal Ishti, he's testifying against the Boel and against his own wife, and the Gemara vacillates back and forth as to whether or not Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto. And the Ravid is going to have something to say about this. What was the Gemara thinking? I mean, the Gemara is vacillating back and forth on something that's absolutely clear. It's explicit. We're going to have a Mishnah later that lists all the psuli hedus. And clearly, it goes without saying that a man cannot testify either for or against his wife. And what was Rava therefore worried? What was he thinking here? That Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo or not Karav Eitzel Atzmo? And that's where the Ravid is going to come into play. We're going to have a similar problem with the next Gemara about Ploni Rava Ashori. Again, the Gemara first has Rava in the case of Ashar, and introduces the principle of mamon lezeh and nefashos lezeh. Okay, that's one thing. But then the Gemara, and this was the last piece that we saw yesterday, is going to introduce another case of Ploni Rava Shori. And once again, the Gemara says, "Mi Amrina, do we say Adam Karvetzel Mamono, or do we not say Adam Karvetzel Mamono? What's it all about?" So the Ravid here has what I call a Gevaldige Chiddush. An incredible insight into this whole sugya, and it's going to really take put a whole new spin on this sugya. Now, in order to appreciate where the Ravid is coming from, we're going to turn back to Daf Tesamid Aleph. And the Gemara wants to know the following. We have a principle, if you recall, on Daf Tesamid Aleph, which is called Nimtza Echad Mehem Karov Upasol. That if you find within the cat one person who's posel, then that spoils the entire cat. Do you remember our mushel? Who remembers our mushel that we gave?
Have to be 100.
A rotten apple. Do you remember that? Again, I'm very, sometimes I come up with a mushel and I get stuck on the mushel. The mushel here is sometimes when you put one rotten apple into a bunch of healthy apples, it spoils the whole bunch. And that's the drasha of Rabbi Akiva, that why does the Torah say Nimtzecha Mehem Karov Apostle? Why does the Torah say Alpi Shnayim Edim O Alpi Shlosh Edim? To tell you that just like in Shnayim, if one of them is Apostle, then of course you're left with only one aid, then therefore the cat is unreliable. So too, if you have three witnesses and you find one of them to be Apostle, you have to throw out the cat, that despite the fact that you have two kosher Edim, right? So that's called Nimtza Echad Mehem Karov Apostle. You could have 100 witnesses, one of them is apostle, then you have to throw out all the other 99 what we thought were healthy apples. Oh. So now the Gemara wants to know, well, if that be the case, what about the Rotzeach himself? The Rotzeach himself, no doubt, was witness to the murder. In fact, the Gemara even says that the Nirtzach was witness to the murder. So the Gemara says the following. Well, the Nirtzach, the one who was killed, he's posel yedus, because Adam karvetz al atzmo. So Gemara says, well, you know what? He didn't even see the murder because he was hit from the back. Well, what about the Rotzeach, the Gemara asks? So the Gemara's answer is the following. I want to write this on the board because this is so important. I know I left an eraser here.
Yeah, right behind you.
Okay, it probably fell. So the Gemara says the following, that b'mekayme davar hakosuv medaber. Right, the pasuk says the following, al pishnayim o shlosha edim yakum davar. And Shlosh is telling me that if one of them is possible, then we throw out the whole bunch. So the Gemara says that this principle that we throw out the Avis because one is possible only applies to Mekayme Dover. Mekayme Dover. Let's say, for example, I don't know, again, I always come up with these Mishalim which either sit well with you or they don't. Let's say you go to a play. So you sit in the audience, and then who's up on the stage? The players, right? So you have the players, and you have the observers, or the audience. So the Mekayme Dover refer to who? The people on stage, or the people who are sitting in the audience? Players. Who are the Mekayme Dover?
Players.
What?
The players.
Audience. No! Mekayme Dover are those who will establish what went on. Who will testify about the case?
The audience.
It's the audience. The audience are the Mekayme Dover. So, in the case of Edus, the Mekayme Dover, if one of them is possible, then that undermines and disqualifies all the Mekayme Dover. You could have 100 people who witness this murder. But, says the Gemara, as far as the Rotzeach and the Nirtzach are concerned, they are not mekayme dover, they are called, the Gemara's language, baalei dover. And who are the baalei dover now in Moshul? Right, the actors on the stage. Right, so they are not part of this edus. So comes along the Raivin and he says the following. Again, it's almost poshut, but it's so brilliant and so fundamental. And he says the following, that what we get from this sugya is that there are people who are part of the kind of Eidim, but they're possible, and then there are people who are not even part of the Eidim. Why? Because they are the Osei Dover, not the Makayme Dover. So what he's doing is, the Raivin, he's accomplishing a tremendous goal. And he's saying that if one or other or more than one of the Osei Dover would have something to say about this testimony, would they be part of the Eidus? And the answer is no, because they're not the Mekayme Dover. And that was the intention of the Gemara, when the Gemara says that the Rotzeach Yatzil, the Rotzeach himself, since he witnessed the crime, he should therefore save his own skin, because he should disqualify the whole aid. Says the Raivin, the Gemara's answer is that he's a Baal Dover, he's up on stage, he's not the Mekayme Dover, hence whatever he says is not part of the Eidus. And when the Torah says that we have to throw out the entire Eidus because of the partnership here, the contribution of the Psuli Eidus, that's because the Psuli Eidus are the Mekayme Dover. They come in, they testify, and one bad apple spoils, but they spoil the entire group of the Mekayme Dover. Mekayme Dover means those who establish what happened. That's the Raivin. Says the Raivin, if you understand this, you'll have a whole different perspective on Rava. What does Rava say? Ploni Ravani Lertzoni is Hu V'Acher Mitztarfim L'Hargo. He's kosher to be made against the Rover. And why? Because what he says about himself, Lertzono, which we call self-incrimination, in that context, where does he fit into the picture? Do you categorize him as Mekayme Dover or Osei Dover? He's the Osei Dover. And if he's the Osei Dover, then he's not part of the Kat. Or, the way the Raivin says it here, his Eidus is not Eidus. Because Eidus is only Eidus of the Mekayme Dover, not of the Osei Dover. That's what Rava means when he says Palgina Dibura. The Palgina Dibura of Rava means that it's a cinch to separate what he says about himself from what he says about the Rovea, because what he says about himself is not Eidus at all. In the Raivin's language, he says, Ein al zeh sheim Eidus klal. And if it doesn't have a sheim Eidus, means it doesn't have a legal status of testimony, then we completely disqualify it. It's not, it's a different kind of disqualification. It's not a disqualification of someone who's a brother, or someone who's a Rasha and he's an apostle. No, we're talking about something totally different. We're talking about something that doesn't have a Shem Eidus. It's not even part of the Eidus. And it's basically a case of two witnesses that came in and they identified the Rover, and they can't identify the Nirva. They didn't see the clear features of his face, so they didn't recognize him, whatever it might be. So we'll accept that testimony on the Rover. That's a full-fledged testimony. He adds Lertzoni, and once he adds Lertzoni, it should now be one bad apple spoils the bunch, which is called, in the language of the Shas, in this context, it's called Batla Mitzasa, Batla Kula, right? This is the principle. Right? Eidus Shebatla Mitzasa Batla Kula, correct? So now we should say the following, that when he adds Lertzoni, he's testifying something that's disqualified. And since we can't accept what he says, we should now blow up, that should torpedo the entire Eidus, even vis-a-vis what he says on about the Rover. What's the Raivin's answer to that? Again, Rava says Palgina Dibura, but what's the underlying fundamental principle of Palgina Dibura? What's it all about?
It's not really
Eidus. It's not Eidus. You can only say Batla Mitzasa, Batla Kula, if the Batla Mitzasa is part of the Eidus. In other words, it belongs to the Mekayme Dover, but it belongs to the Osei Dover, and it's not therefore part of the Eidus, then we don't say Batla Mitzasa, Batla Kula, because it's not Mitzasa. It's not part of the Eidus.
What is it called, Eidus?
We're not going to call it Eidus. No. This is a case of someone who's a Mekayme Dovar, and he's telling us a story, and we can't accept his whole story.
Right.
If we can't accept his whole story, then we have to throw out the entire Eidus. But in this case, the part that we're cutting out and we're omitting is not Eidus. Why? Because it doesn't belong to the Mekayme Dovar, it belongs to the Yosei Dovar. Now, if that be the case, then we can begin to understand Rava's suffix, his vacillation about Ishto. The man says, and the man testifies, Ploni Baal Ishti. Well, is it Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto? And what does Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto mean in this case? That it's not Mekayme Dover, it's Osei Dover, or Ein Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto, which means that he's not considered. We don't consider his wife like as if she's him, and therefore he's testifying about his wife, and now we have a psul karov, and then we have to apply the principle of Eidus Shabbat L'Ritzos Shabbat L'Kula. How do we view a man's testimony about his wife? Do we see it as if he's testifying on about himself, which makes it into what? Baal Dover, Osei Dover, but not Mekayme Dover? Or do we view it as if he's testifying about his wife as a separate entity? But he's a Karov. Now, again, you have to understand what the rabbi is accomplishing. It's a tremendous accomplishment. Because we know that a person is possible to be made on his wife. That's a Mishnah. It can't be that Rava was unsure about a Mishnah. Rava was just unsure about what's the nature, or how do you define the essence of the Psul Adam Amein Alishto? Is it that he's testifying about himself, we call it V'hayu L'basar Echad, and then he's considered an Osei Dover, not a Mekayme Dover, or is he testifying about someone else who's a Karov, and it's a Apostle? And an Afkamina is going to be whether we apply the principle of Eidus Shabbat L'Mitzvah Shabbat L'Kula. If we see him as if he's testifying about himself, well, that's called Bali Dover, Osei Dover, but not Mekayme Dover. That's not Eidus at all. Hence, we can accept his Eidus as far as the Boel is concerned. But if on the other hand I'm going to say, well, she's a Karov. And the Eidus is really Eidus, just that there's a psul here. It's a rotten apple. Then we're going to say Eidus Shabbat L'Mitzvah Shabbat L'Kula. We can't even accept the Eidus vis-a-vis the Boel. And the final maskan of Rava is to say that Adam Karov Eitzel Ishto. And just like Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo, he's Karov Eitzel Ishto, which means that he's testifying on himself. And that's called what? That's called a Bali Dover or Osei Dover and not a Mekayme Dover. Hence, we can accept the Eidus as far as the Baal is concerned. Now we get to Mavona. Surely, says the Rebbe, Rava was aware of the fact that a person can't testify on his own property. What vested interest do you have when you're testifying about your own property? So Rava for surely understood that he can't testify about his shor. That's for sure. It's his property. But Rava wanted to know, can we accept his testimony on the rover? And that depends on whether Adam Karav Eitzel Mamona is the same thing as Karav Eitzel Atzmo, which makes him into what, Rava Osai? Into the Baal Dover and not the Osei Dover. And therefore we can accept his testimony vis-a-vis the rover. Or do we say no? Ain't Adam Karav Eitzel Mamono. It's not the same as Karav Eitzel Atzmo. It's a separate psul of the Eidus. And if it's a psul of the Eidus, then it's Bala Mitzos and Bala Kula. Let me just read to you the language of the Raivin. He says the following. Let me just find it. Just 1 second. Oh. He says that just like Rav had a suffix, like Abi Ploni Bal Ishti, Hadavra Yaposhin was simple to Rav, he never questioned that. She'ein Adam Neman Lahayr Al Mamono. Just like it was upgraded, it was a basic principle, and it was understood, even in Rav, that Rav never had doubts that a person can't testify on his wife, he can't testify on his Mamon. But what was Rav's suffix? A suffix Haya, Ha'im Adam Karav Eitzel Mamono, Kishem shu karav eitzel atzmo, dahainu, shu baal dover le'inyin seh. V'ein dvarav al mamono, ein l'dvarav al mamono, shem eidus klal. I'm telling you, Rav Osai, if you would have showed this to me and not told me it was the Ravid, I would have said it was Reb Chaim Brisker. This is mamish the language of Reb Chaim. The only difference is that the Rebbe is like 1,000 years before Reb Chaim. But he uses the same lingo, the same conceptual approach. He's saying that if you hold that Adam karveitz al mamono kishem shu karveitz al atzmo, it means he's a baal dover, and he's not mimakaimi dover. V'ein al dvarov legabi mamono shem edus klal l'fichach afshe batla edus al inyan ashar. We cannot accept his testimony vis-a-vis the shar, because certainly he's possible to testify about his own animal. Ain't omer b'zeh edus shebatla miktasa batla kula, ela nemon al kol ponim legabi aboel. Odilma, here's the second side of Rava. Ain't o karveitz al mamona kemoshu karveitz al atzmo, v'yesh lidvarov al hashar shem edus, ela she edus psula v'yeno nemon lahayat al hashar. And therefore, we apply the principle of Batla Miktsasa, Batla Kula, V'eino Neman Afilu, Legabe Aroveya. Wow. So that's my star for today, as I told you, my hero for today is the Rizin. I mean, just puts a whole different perspective on the whole sugya from the beginning to the end. You know, all the different elements of the sugya. Now, before we start the next part of the Mishnah, which is the next sugya in the Gemara. Again, I don't know if we could put on the air conditioning or not. Again, even if we put it on, it doesn't help anyway, but maybe psychologically we think that if we turn on the air conditioner, maybe it would help. Does anybody want to try that? Again, it's just a psychological ploy. I mean, it's basically a fig leaf. Oh, it is on. Oh, so I can't even gain that psychology. Okay, fine.
It's closed.
Okay.
That
could be a problem if the vent is closed. I mean, that's not a major investment to open the vent. Yossi, is something coming through. Put your hand there. Yeah. Put your hand there.
You can feel it.
You feel it? Oh,
it's for real.
God.
Now we can close the window and we have
to
air conditioning.
Wow. Yossi, what kind of thing? You got to be a solid bitch.
There it is.
Okay.
It's the lady in me.
The lady in me.
It helps
okay,
the
good.
Rabbi.
It's the nightingale. All right, now I want to quote to you the Ran. This is a lot easier than the Ravid. And the Ran writes the following. L'maskona sasugya ein adam karov etzel mamono. Right? Yeah, let's read the Gemara. The last Gemara on Daf that we did yesterday on Daf Yud, Basar Debaya Hadar Pashte. Okay, which is, let's see, how many lines down from the top is it? It's 2/3. 17?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. How did you do that so fast? Okay. You have a Gemara that has numbers in it? No. Okay. Basar Debaya Hadar Pashte. Adam karav etzel atzmo, the ain adam karav etzel mamono. So, my friends, according to the Ravid, the conclusion would be what if you hold ain adam karav etzel mamono? Who could tell me? Nobody followed. I wasted a half hour. Okay. Again, if you hold ain adam karav etzel mamono, what does that mean? In terms of Shori, you know, Ploni, Rove, Shori. Mish, can you help me? He could or could not?
Could.
No, he could not.
Yeah,
you know, he followed his Absul, right? If you hold, it's right, because again, if he was a Karov, like he is a Karov Eitzel Atzmo, the Ravid says, that's called Makaimi, that's called Osei Dover, not Makaimi Dover. But if you hold Ain Adam Karov Eitzel Mamono, that's the nature, then it means it's not the same as Karov Eitzel Atzmo, and therefore, we're not going to believe him on the Rover. So that's what the Ran wants to point out. He says, Klomar, the Maskonis HaSugi is She'eno Baldovar. He's not considered a Baldovar, but rather he's Posuliedus. If he's Posuliedus, then Eino Neman Alaf Al Hashar. Eino Neman Alaf Al HaRover. Oh. Says the Ran, here's the Chiddush of the Ran. He says the following: Hainu dafka le'iyan harigas hashor. If the shor is being put on trial for revia, which means for stoning, for death, harigas hashor, that's not just a hefsed mamon. right, which would only be a, let's say, a Bezdin of Shlosha. Here we need a Bezdin of Esrim v'Shlosha, because we have a principle, if you recall, that was discussed at great length in our Mishnah, called Kemisas Avayim Kafmisas Ashar. So then what we'd have to say, as far as Misas Ashar is concerned, is Eidus Shebatla Miktasa Batla Kula, because since he's Pasul in his Eidus vis-a-vis the Arigas Ashar, then ipso facto he's Pasul, because that's Batla Miktasa Batla Kula as far as the Arigas Aroveya. However, he says, Kisha Adam Meir Al Nechasim Shalo, Im Heim Shalo O Lo Shalo, if he's going to testify that this is, you know, coming to Bez to testify that this is mine, but Zev Vadai who made Al Atzmo Mamish, which means Adam Karavetz Al Atzmo, what would he be classified now? How would he be classified now? If he's only testifying in a monetary case, right? Somebody's claiming that this is his karka and he's claiming it's my karka. What would that come under? Would he be Mekayme Dover or would he be Osei Dover? No, here you'd be an Osei Dover, right? So listen carefully. He says the following: Via made the Nosaf Lazel Ian Acher. Let's say, for example, he would testify not only on the karka that it's his, but he would also at the same time testify that the peros that are growing on this karka belong to so and so. And again, all this is to counter a claim of some other litigant who comes into Bez and says the karka is mine, the peros are mine, everything is mine. In such a case, ain omrim eid the shabbat l'miktasa bat l'kula ela palginin dibura dilagabe atzmo hare eino eid kla, eino eid kla. So in other words, the Ran wants to make a distinction between two cases. In both cases, he's testifying on his own property and on someone else. But in one case, he's testifying on his property and someone else in a murder case, you know, in a capital case. And here, in this context, he's considered mekayme dover, right? Because we're trying to establish whether or not the shor has to be stoned. And as far as the mekayme dover, the final maskon is ain adam karveitz al mamono. So he's considered mekayme dover. Therefore, we're going to throw it out. We're going to throw out and disqualify his eidus, even as far as the roveya is concerned. But if the eidus is on mamon, then he's testifying on his mamon. There's nothing beyond the mamon. There's no misas bezdin, you know, that would require 23 judges. And therefore, when he testifies on his mamon, we disqualify his eidus as an osei dover. And if he's in the category of an osei dover, if he's at the same time he's testifying on some other mamon that it belongs to so and so, he would be relieved as far as so and so. And then we would apply the principle of palgin and nivu. Okay, Rabosai, now we get to part two of today's shiur, and we start a machlokas here. Let's go back to our Mishnah just to refresh our memory. And the Mishnah wants to know, how many judges do you need to rule against a criminal, at least an accused criminal, who would be Chayav Malchus? He gets 39 lashes. So the Mishnah records a machlokas. Let's go over the Mishnah. It's about seven lines down in the Mishnah. It says that Makos Bishlosha. So the Stam Mishnah assumes that Makos, you know, we just established that for Dini Nefashos, the Mishnah formulates that you require how many judges?
23.
Now the Mishnah says, but Makos is not Dini Nefashos. You know, you have to add a little knetch over here. Is it possible that he would die from the 39 Malkas? So the answer to that is no. What's that called, Joseph?
40 Malkas.
No, that's called Umdana. Oh. Do you want to write that down? Umdana. Umdana means that we bring in, before the Malkas, we have to bring in a professional team of physicians, and they have to determine his health. And if there's even a slim possibility that he might die, then we don't give him Malkas. Now again, you could always ask me, well, maybe this, maybe that. But it's a fair assumption that there's no capital punishment here in the case of Malkus. According to, just one split second, Jerry, I just want to add one word because I'm going to forget. The sheet of the Tanakhama is that unless there's nefashos, then it becomes like the Malkus. We have to figure out why. Jerry.
Sorry, you don't give Malkus, you don't give him the full Malkus.
Good, so that's Shilush. In other words, we're going to divide the Malkus into three parts of 13 Malkus each. And we'll see, can he get the first 13? Can he get 26? Can he get 39? And that's what we're gonna try to determine. And for that, we need a panel of experts. Mitch, you're a physician, but you're an eye doctor. So I'm just wondering, would you be on the team?
I wouldn't be on the team.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I never understood how this works. I mean, you know, my son is a physician also. You know, once you start specializing in something, is that mafkir? Did that remove you from all the other parts of medicine? Well, do we say, yesh v'chlam v'chayim v'chayim, that now you're an expert in ophthalmology, but that's on top of... The trouble with medicine is that if you're not... It's like languages, you know. If you're not speaking the language, you know... You know, you could tell me that your parents raised you on Yiddish, but if you haven't used Yiddish, you try breaking your teeth on Yiddish. I mean, it'll be easy to come back to you, but...
On the plane, if they ask, is there a physician here, I don't raise my hand.
Yeah, you worry about the legal... All right. In any event, so Tanakhava says, how many judges do we need for Makis?
Three.
Only three, because it's not Dini Nefashim. And Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru B'Esrim V'Shlosha. He considers it like Dinei Nefashos, and he requires 23 judges. So the first part of Asugya is an analysis of the Chachamim, meaning the Tanakhava. Why is it sufficient to have only three judges? Correct? And the Gemara says Minani Mili. How do we know this? Rabosai, whenever you see Minani Mili, What conceptual conclusion do you have to derive from the words minani mili? Whenever the Gemara is curious about the source,
going back.
No, but what's the underlying assumption? Whenever you see the words minani mili, automatically in your brain, without even thinking, as a knee jerk reaction, what?
Just talk before somewhere.
No, Rabbi, you're missing my point, and I'm sorry that I'm talking to you. It may sound that I'm condescending to you, but what I mean is that minani mili always is premised on the preposition that logically the opposite would have been the case. You have to just spell that out in your mind. In other words, if not for a pasuk, the logic itself, what we call svara, again, it's not human logic, but the halachic universe logic would have told you the exact opposite. And the question is why? You know, why is the Gemara attacking Rabbi Meir? The Tanakhama. Why shouldn't the Gemara attack Rabbi Shmuel? Why don't you say Minani Mili to Rabbi Shmuel? Apparently, the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Shmuel's in the driver's seat here, and it makes sense that it should be so. So let me read to you a footnote here in the name of the Sefer. It's interesting, the name of the Sefer is called Sanhedrin Ketana. That's a humble name for a book on Masech the Sanhedrin. You know, instead of calling it Sanhedrin Agdol, implying like, you got to buy my book, he calls it Sanhedrin Ketana. I don't know who the author is, I can check that out for you. But he says the following. He says, Ein lomar shalom dim din zeba kal v'chomer, she'im l'chayev mamon, is therefore three judges are sufficient, is kal v'chomer that for Malkus three judges should suffice. Do you follow? He's asking the following question. Forget about Minani Mili. I have another way of going. And what's my other way of going? I can derive it from logic. Because which is more chomer? Which is more chomer, paying money or getting beaten up for 39 lashes?
Depends whether you love your money.
Excellent. What pasuk in Chumash was added because somebody loves his money more than his life? Bechol me'odecha, right? It says in the pasuk, we say it a few times a day. If you say Krishma Lamit, it's probably three times a day, right? It says bechol v'ahavta shevaka bechol me'odecha. Me'odecha means your money. And so the Chazal asked, it's also Gemara in Sanhedrin, well, once you told me called Nafshach, I have to give my life, why do you have to tell me? So he says there's somebody whose money is worth more than his life. But let me ask you the following question again. I'll probably get many different answers to this question, right? But let me just ask the question. Suppose you had two choices. You could either save yourself $1 million, but you'd have to get to 39 Malkus, or you'd pay the $1 million and you'd save yourself 39 Malkus. What would be your decision? Do you follow what I mean by $1 million? I'm making this into an attractive proposition here. Yeah, is it worth suffering 39 Malkus because you're gonna save yourself or possibly even win in the case $1 million? You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I know a case of a friend of mine with my daughter. She was she was never hit by a car, and she was in the hospital for 6 months. They were putting her arm back together. After 6 months, Baruch Hashem, it's everything is functioning, and she was awarded in a case $1 million. Well, maybe it was $1 million shekel, I don't remember now. But anyway, a very sizable sum of money. Mm-hmm. And my daughter told me that she's buying an apartment. You know, she couldn't even have dreamt of buying a deer in Eretz Yisrael, but now she's buying a deer. So I said to her, I don't think it's worth it. You know, 6 months of hospital care, you know, for $1 million, I wouldn't. But again, I'm a big shot. You know, I have $1 million, so what do I care? It's not very attractive. But imagine in that case. And again, I can multiply $1 million by another million. Oh, how much is that? Oh, anyway, so that's the issue here. So this is actually, believe it or not, a Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis vacillates back and forth about the following issue. Do we apply Kimle Ramine only in Malkus, meaning that since he's going to get Misa, you won't get Malkus, or even in the case of Eno, Eno Mesa Mishal, or Eno Loka Mishal, the Gemara tries to figure out whether Tashlumin, how does Tashlumin figure out in comparison to Malkus. And the Gemara goes back and forth on this issue. So he's saying the following, that maybe, again, he's about to reject it, but listen to what the Saredrik Tad is offering. He's saying, maybe you could say the following. You know what? The Chachom made a Kavach Chomer. And they said the following, that Mamon is more Chomer, you know, to pay $1 million is more Chomer than 39 Malkus. And if the Torah says all you need for Mamon is how many judges? Only three judges, and how much more so in a less severe case of Malkus, then for sure three judges should be enough. So he says, nay, we're not going to say that. Why? He says that Kal v'chomer is not sufficient. Why? Because the Maskanas HaSugya in Yevamos is that Malkus is more chamur than Mammon. Now, if Malkus is more chamur than Mammon, so the fact that Mammon suffices with three judges, does that tell you anything about Malkus? Because in the hierarchy, you got Mammon, then you got Malkus, and then you got Misa. So in the case of Mammon, all that you need is how many judges? Three. In the case of Misa, how many judges do you need? 23. Well, Malkus is midway between Mammon and Misa, right? It's a lot more severe because the final maskana is that I'd rather pay whatever you want me to pay than get the Malkus. And if that be the case, minani mili. We understand the Gemara's kasha here. Minani mili. How does the Tanakhama know that just like in Mammon, all you need is three judges, so too in Malkus, which is more chomer than Mammon, all you need is three judges. Amar avhun amar kra. So for this, we would really have to take out a chumash. I'll read to you the Chumash because in my Gemara he has the whole Chumash. You may have it also in the Torah R. Do you have something called the Torah R on your page? If you happen to luck out, you know, the new Gemaras have the Torah R. It's called the Torah Asholim. Do you have it?
Deuteronomy 25?
Yeah, you have that in front of you? Or maybe you could just press a button and it'll come up on the computer. That's cool. So it says the following. This is Parshas Ki Teitzeh. It says, "Ki yeh rit." Now the smichus here is very important. You know, the juxtaposition of two different verses in the Torah that speaks volumes. So it says in the first pasuk, which is the opening pasuk in the 25th chapter in what did you call it? Deuteronomy. It says, "Ki yeh riv bein anashim v'nikshu el hamishpat ushfatum." So now, at this moment in time, I'm not exactly sure what the subject of this adjudication was. I mean, it says that there's a riv bein anoshim. So I don't know if we're talking about paying chavola, you know, to make chavola because he assaulted, he injured him, and his value went down, or he has to pay doctor's fees. I don't know, or maybe we're talking about a case of an Avera, right? If a person hits someone, then he violates an Avera, and we have to give Malkus for that. Again, if assuming he was warned and so forth and so on. Well, the next pasuk is going to reveal it for us. Because it says, Vaya bin hakos ha-rasha, vehipilu ha-shofet vehikol lefanav. So in other words, the case in the first pasuk, ki yeh riv bein anashim v'nikshu al ha-mishpat, and then the next word in the pasuk is ushfatum, that there's some sort of a brawl between two people, and then as a result, the case was brought in front of the judges. and it says Ushvatum, that case is a case of Vipilu Ashofet Vikol Lefanav, the next verse, right? So the next verse tells you that we're talking about a Chiv Malkus. Says the Gemara, in the first pasuk it says Ushvatum, and they will judge. And now, is that plural or singular? Obviously, they will judge is in what? Is in plural. Now, we have a rule of thumb that whenever the Torah uses a plural, we take the least chiddush. What's the barest minimum of a plural?
Two.
So that means shnayim. So shvatum means they, the two judges, should judge. Now, what's the problem? What's the problem if you have two judges on a court? That's called a bezdin shakul. Not a bezdin noteh, but a bezdin shakul. We can't accept a bezdin shakul. Ain't bezdin shakul. It's mosifin aleim odecha. Harekan shloshim. We have to add a third judge. So now the Gemara wants to know the following. We have a rule. Again, in fancy English, I think it's called hermeneutic principles. Don't ask me to spell that. Anyway, so these are the rules that we use to apply to drush and how we derive halachas. So you can't just pinpoint one word in a parasha and derive that it's plural. You have to see how many different words indicate the judgment. So the Gemara says the following: if you're taking the word ushvatum, and in its plural form, you're deriving two judges. Well, it also says in the same pasuk, vihitzdiku, which means that they will determine the justice of he who is righteous. Who's the they that will determine the justice? The judges. Ishnayim. So now we have to add another two judges. Okay? Now we have the two judges of Ushvatum, we have the two judges of Vitzdiku, but we're not finished yet. Because the next part of the pasuk says Vehirshiu, meaning the one who's guilty should be found or pronounced liable. And that's Vehirshiu is also written in the plural, is Shnayim. So we have three words in the parasha, all of which are written in the plural, each one therefore teaching me Shnayim, is Arekan Shiva. Now how did he jump to seven?
Two.
Because otherwise the base and shackle. So we're going to have to add a seventh judge. So the Gemara is saying the following, that Rav Huna, you're stuck, because if we're going to apply your rule of interpretation, then by virtue of your rule, we're going to come to the untenable position that we need seven judges. Unless we can justify the need for the words v'hitzdiku or v'hirshiu for some other drasha. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because again, another one of our principles of interpreting psukim is that once I need a pasuk for X, I can't use it for Y. So the Gemara is going to answer now, based on Ula, that we need the v'hitzdiku as a tzadik, v'hirshiu as a rasha for something else. Hahu, those extra words that are written in plural, v'itztiku and v'ershiu, mi'boile, what does mi'boile mean? We need it, right? Those are the words you have to write down and memorize. There's no shortcuts here. Mi'boile, he needs it, kida'ula, for the statement of ula. You know, I would have written, mi'boile lehilchasa di amar ula, but the Gemara calls it the ula, like as if this halacha is ula's halacha, this drasha is ula's halacha. This is what the Gemara means, that you make a kinyan on your Torah, it's your Torah. So this is ula, this is ula's Torah. The amar ula. Now, at first glance, what ula says is absolutely unintelligible. We cannot translate the words of ula literally. Because what he's asking is, Remez li'edim zomim min haTorah minayin. Find me some sort of a hint, some sort of an allusion in the Torah to the edim zomim. That can't be. It can't be that Ula doesn't know a pasuk in Chumash. The Gemara says, how could it be that he's asking minayin, Remez li'edim zomim? Vaksiv, the pasuk says explicitly, Parashat Shoftim, it says, Vasisem lo, Kasha zomav. And then it says, Lassos Liachim, that we punish them in the same way that they wanted to be that punishment to the person who's on trial. So what is he looking for? Ula is looking for a remez, some sort of a new halacha here. What do you mean a new halacha? You're looking for a pasuk for a new halacha. You can't be looking for the din of Edom Zom, and the Torah says, Vasisim Lokashim Zom Lassos Liachim. Ella Remezli Edim Zomim Shalokin Minayim. All right, let's understand. Eidim Zomimim fit into basically three categories. We're going to soon add a fourth. But the three categories are the following. Either they testified on a capital case, meaning they wanted to condemn someone to death, a chiv misa, or they testified on a malchus case, they wanted to mechayev him for eating chazer treif, they wanted to mechayev him 39 malchus, or in the third case, they testified on a monetary case, they wanted to mechayev him mama. And relative to each of these three cases, we have kasha zolam. We have to mete out the punishment depending upon what the substance and the goal, the agenda of their edus was. That's all crystal clear. But there's a fourth category which fits into the ambiguous category. And that is a case where it doesn't fit into any of those three categories. In other words, the substance or the agenda, the essence of the edus is neither misa nor malchus nor mama. They wanted to mete out a different kind of a punishment, so to speak. And it's not any of the big three, so to speak. And what's this case? How many people in the room ever learned Makkos? So you remember the first mission of Makkos? What's it called? It has almost like a name to it. Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. So the case is that two witnesses are testifying against the Kohen. And they're not saying something so nice about this Kohen. They're saying that his mother, who conceived him, was married to a Kohen. That per se is good news, because that would make him a Kohen. But his mother was already a Grusha. She was already divorced from a previous marriage. And then she got married to a Kohen. And you are the product of that marriage of a Grusha to a Kohen. That's called a Ben Grusha. Now, what's the import of that Eidus? That he's a chol and he's pasul lekuna. He can't do the avoda, and we're not going to call him up for kohen. You know, here in the ELC, it's a problem. We need a kohen desperately. So, Levi, I think maybe we can get, but the kohen we don't have. So once in a while we have Eitan comes in. He's a kohen, but it really pays to be a kohen in this shul because very often there's no Levi also, so you get two for the price of one. You know, but in any event, so the kohen now is a ben grusha. He's a ben grusha. Now, Rabosa, you chever here, like myself, come from Chutz Laretz. So I'm going to wonder if you'll give me the same answer that I'll give you. Did you ever hear of a kohen who married a grusha? Did you ever hear of such a terrible thing?
Sure. Not in a rumor, but it happens all the time.
Well, I'm talking about an Orthodox shul. Okay. In an Orthodox shul that I knew in my youth, everybody knew, it was public knowledge, that this Cohen's wife was a Grusha. Mm-hmm. Okay? No offense to anybody. I'm not coming here to judge anybody. But he was married to a Grusha. And the good news is, so to speak, they didn't have any children. There were children from a first marriage, but not from this marriage. So the issue of Ben Grusha is not relevant. But you should know the poskim today deal with this. They don't know what to do because, you know, today if you exclude somebody, they sue you for damages, you know.
But it doesn't change the coin status. You can still duke in. You can still, even though he married Grusha.
I don't know. That's a good question. But certainly his son is not allowed to duke in. In modern Orthodox congregations, you know, if you know what I'm referring to, it's a problem. You know, so there was a case in a city that someone here knows about, I'm sure, that this man was married to a woman of a different religion, and they didn't want to give him the guest of honor at the dinner, and he wanted to sue for defaming him. Oh, so what if I was married to an Asian woman, right? What's so terrible, right? So this is the society we live in. So I married a Grusha and I'm a Kohen. So big deal. So therefore, what? You're not going to let me duchen? So these are issues that come up. So now we find out that the Eidim was Zomim. So what are you going to do to the Eidim? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I don't even know if they're Kohanim. So if the Eidim are not Kohanim, you know, you can't whammy them and say, well, make them into a Ben Grush Mechalutza, because, you know, to Yisrael, who's not a Kohen, there's no such din as Ben Grush Mechalutza. So the Mishnah establishes that in such a case, we give the Eidim Malchus. Interesting. It's like a default position. We don't have a literal application of Asisim Lokasha Zomam, because we can't make them into a Ben Grusha. I'll give you another case. A man testifies that he saw the new moon. That's a Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, right? We need Eidos back in the day, this before Hillel HaShani established the calendar. And I saw the new moon. But guess what? You were with us in a different place. You couldn't have possibly seen the new moon. So what do we do to these Eidim, the Zomim? Can you make them into a new moon? What are you going to do? So this is Ula's question. Ula wants to know, I need a remez, I need some sort of indication in the parasha of Kasher Zomim that the default position for false testimony when we can't apply Kasher Zomim, and again, we know that they perjured themselves because there was Hazama, and we believe the Mazimu. What punishment do we give? What's the default position? And the answer is Malkus. How do we know this? And the answer is Minayin. How do I know this? Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk, Vitzdiku es atzadik v'rshiu es harosha. And immediately afterwards it says, V'hoyim ben hakos harosha v'ipilu hashofe v'ikom. So let's understand what's going on. Vitzdiku es atzadik v'rshiu es harosha. The Gemara asks a rhetorical question. Is Mishum the Tzdiku as a Rosha, as a Tzadik, Vashiu as a Rosha, therefore Vahoya in Bin Hakos a Rosha? Well, what are you telling me now? Because they were Madstik the Rosha, I'm sorry, they were Madstik the Tzadik. Now, wait a second. In a classic case of Malkus, how many people are up there, you know, in front of the judges, in a classic case of Malkus? One. There's only one person, right? It's not like a monetary litigation where it's Reuven against Shimon and Reuven suing Shimon for damages. We're talking about a case where Edom are testifying against so and so that he ate pig, right? So he has to get Malchus. So what's going on here? The Torah says, "V'itzdiku es atzadik, v'irshiu es harosha." I mean, that would make sense in a Didymonis case. You know, we find out who's trying to cheat and swindle the other guy. So we want to make sure we know and declare who's the tzaddik, the real tzaddik, and who's the real Russia. That can make sense in a monetary case, but the Torah says in the very next pasuk, V'pilu ashofi v'kolafana, that we're dealing not with a monetary case, but rather we're dealing with a criminal case. And if we're dealing with a criminal case, then why does the Torah have to say Vitzdiku as a tzaddik? Who's the tzaddik over here? There's one person on trial. I mean, I can understand the Rishiu as a Rasha. You know, we have to determine that he indeed is a Rasha. But what's Vitzdiku? Rashi says here, I'll just quote a few words in this long Rashi Mishum on the bottom right. He says, is Tzidkas a tzaddik lama huskarakan? What's the Shaykhus here to mention that we have to declare the righteous person as being righteous? There's no righteous person over here. There's only one person on trial. What did you call it, Steve? A state case? What do you call it? What was the phrase you used? I forget. A state case or something? You know, when the state brings a... Oh, anyway.
Yeah. So we say that the accused one is the righteous and the witnesses are the...
No, that the judges, the Torah says, have to determine the real righteous guy and make a declaration he's righteous, and they have to determine who is the Russia and declare him as being the Russia. And then we beat up the Russia and we give Malkus. Right. So what's Vitzdiku as a tzaddik? There's no tzaddik over here. There's one person on trial. He's being accused of a violation of a crime. You know, he wore shatnez or he ate chazer. And we have to be Marshias HaRosh, and then we give him Malkus. But what's Vitzdiku as a tzaddik? So we really have to reinterpret this whole parasha and take it out of its simple meaning.
Can it be that you're trying to find the one that's chuspi about that one person? That's the tzidkus parasha.
Ah, okay. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like the Radak or you know one of the Parshanim, the Rashbam, you know, in the Torah would probably take that but you know what? I would say, Jerry, the following, that you may be right, but it's still unnecessary. The Torah is very stingy on ink. If it would have just said, Vershias HaRosha, and then Vipilu Bifana Viko, I think that would have gotten the message across. You know, it wouldn't make sense to say, Vitzdiku as a tzaddik, and then Vipilu Lefano Viko. You follow what I'm saying? It's all one phrase over here. Vitzdiku es atzadik v'shias harosha. That's what the judges have to do. And as a result, then hipilu lefano viko. Well, why? If it's vitzdiku es atzadik. So Ula comes up with the following interpretation. Ella. he says the following. What we're talking about is Edim Shehirshiu Es HaTzadik. The Edim perjured themselves, and they pointed to this tzaddik, and they said about him, "He's a rasha." Asu Ede Achrina. Now we have the second pair of Edim. What are they called? The Mazimim. And they set the record straight. Vitzdiku es atzadik meikara. Demeikara means the one who was always a tzadik. But now, as a result of the Edim HaMazimim, and the fact that the first pair of Edim HaZomimim, now we can determine that this person is really a tzaddik. He's not a rush as accused by the original, by the first pair of the Edim Zomim. Oh. As a result, Vishavinu Lahanach Rishon. You know who the evildoers here? Not the person who's on trial who was accused of violating it, but rather it's the first pair of Edim, the Edim Zomim. So what do we do now?
The
Hayoim Ben Hakosa Rasha Vipilu Lefanoviko. And now we're going to meet out Malchus and what is, now again, this is wonderful, a wonderful pshat in the pasuk of Ula, but it still is only a remez, because at the end of the day, it could be that what the Torah really means is that since these Edim who became Zomim and testified against the Reuven that he ate Chaz Atreiv, and therefore they were going to meet out Malchus, is therefore we give them the Malchus. But again, that would be missing the point, because we already have the Kasha Zoma. We already have a pasuk that says in the Torah, "Asisim lo kasher zomim lasos liochiv." So, why are you telling me that the Edim Zomim have to get Malchus? There's no need to tell me that. Malchus is one of the three main categories of kasher zomim. If they wanted to meet out Malchus, then the Torah says, "Asisim lo kasher zomim." I know that we give the Edim Zomim Malchus. So the Torah has to repeat a big chiddush that since they were matzdik the tzaddik meikara, and they determined, I'm talking about the Mazimim, and they determined that these Zomimim are Rishayim, therefore we're going to give the Rishayim Malchus. I mean, if the Rishayim wanted to meet out Malchus to the Nidah, then of course Kasha Zomim means we're going to give him Malchus. What's this Gevaldige Chiddush that the Torah had to tell you, V'pilu HaShofet V'iko? And the answer is, for a case where the Edim Zomim testified not against someone that he's Chayv Malchus, but against someone who was a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that they wanted to apostle him for Kahuna. And then there are other cases, by the way, that fit into this middle ambiguous category. But now we get into what I'm going to say now is sort of like an introduction to a very profound sugya that's part of our sugya. It's not a new sugya. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. It's really a hemshek, but it takes us on a whole different pattern of thinking. The Gemara says the following, that if two witnesses who ultimately become Zomim testified against the Kohen that he's a Ben Grusha, he's a Chol, he's Posel Lekuhuna, then when they turn out to be Zomim, we give them Malchus. And the Gemara Ula needs a Pasuk for that. And as a result of using the Pasuk of Vitzdiko Tzadik Vishir Sarasha, we now are left with the word Vishvatum, which is the only Pasuk that I have to justify why it says it in plural, and it means two judges plus a third to make it into an odd number. Why do I need a Pasuk to teach me, according to Ula's Drasha, that these Edim, namely the Zomimim, are Chayev Malchus? Lechora, I have another reason, a simple reason why they're Chayev Malchus. Who's Chayev Malchus in general? How would you define, in the most generic terms, who gets Malchus?
Over Allah.
Excellent. Anybody who violates Allah. Now, what about Edim Zomimim? If you're going to tell me they didn't violate any law, then I understand. You know, everything is justified, the Torah's Machadish, that for their intention, they had a very bad intention. You know, how do they call it in Western law? They call it attempted murder. You know what I'm saying? So because they had a terrible, terrible intention, the Torah says, "Vasisim lo, you'll suffer the very intention that you wanted." And there is no law. Oh, if there's no law, so then what's the intention? Meaning, what's the punishment that we have to meet out to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? For that, I justify Ula's entire complicated drasha v'shir v'tzdikos v'tzayushis. But says the Gemara, Edim Zomim, in fact, violate a law of the Torah. Okay. It's a pretty heavy-duty law. What's that? Lo sadabreach et shaker. Right? The Torah says I'll tell you exactly where it is in the Aseret HaDibros. It's Pasuk Yud Beis in the 20th chapter of Numbers. Did I get that right? Numbers, right? And it says, Lo Sanav Reachet Shaker. That's a pretty severe violation. And for sure you should get Malkus for Lo Sanav Reachet Shaker. So two Edom testify against the Kohen that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. For sure we have to give these Edom Malkus. In fact, maybe what's implicit in the Gemara's question now is that every single case of Edom Zomimim, insofar as they violated the law of Lo Sanav Reachet Shaker, should get Malkus. So for example, two Edom testified that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and the whole story is gebluffed. And we prove that they're false because of Edom Zomim. So you know what? We should give these Edom Malkus. And we know that the halacha is, in the case of Edom Zomim, they pay the $1,000, they don't get Malkus. What about Lo Sanav Reachet Shaker? And this is going to lead us to the famous sugya called what? Lav Shein Bo Mais. So that's the sugya for tomorrow. What's the deal with a lav which you violate with your mouth? For those who are learning Tmura, by the way, in Daf Yomi, this is a very relevant discussion. Do you get Malkus for a Lav Shein Bo Maisa? And believe it or not, that's going to be Machlokus from Yochanan Reish Lakish. So we'll pick that up in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. And I'll take this opportunity to thank everyone for for allowing me to take a journey into the Ravid. I'm very excited about this Ravid, about the difference between Makaymi Dover and Osei Dover, and the Shem Edus, and the Mixoso, and so forth. So, okay then? So everyone should have a wonderful day. Anyone who wants to learn a little side edge of Be'iyun, talk about Eidus today, and that's at 10:30 to 11:15. Okay. I don't think it'll get stolen if you're worried about that. Are you talking security wise?
Yeah.